Hello, everybody. This is Flairies on Films. This week, we're talking about Star Wars Episode 4, New Hope.
Hit the music!
Hello, everybody. I'm Michael Flaherty.
I'm Colleen Flaherty.
And this week we have a special guest.
We do. Oh, my God. I just noticed someone joined us in the studio.
Hey, you should have been more on top of that. Really... Judas Norbit.
Yes. Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. How do we know you? Like, how have you come to be in the studio? How do we know each other? Our parents are related, so that would make us cousins.
Okay. All right. I love explaining how cousins works.
We've known each other our whole lives.
Right. And so you're probably wondering, today our film is Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope. Why is Junis our special guest? Because she grew up her whole life, until 29, however old you are, never seeing any Star Wars films until... this year, when she watched every single one. So she has some fresh eyes on the Star Wars franchise that most people cannot get away from, including Michael and I, who were beaten over the head with it growing up.
Junis, how was that experience?
Interesting question. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome.
Colleen Flaherty chose to enter me into the Star Wars world with a different take, beginning with the later trilogies.
The Phantom Menace. So we went in chronological order of... And a lot of people were like, no way is she going to sit through it, starting with the prequels. But she did.
I pushed through. Yeah. I pushed through, and it made me appreciate and love the originals so much more.
By the way, Michael one time was Anakin Skywalker for Halloween, and he had the little braid and everything. It was so cute.
Dude, goes way farther than that. I was obsessed with that movie. Because this was at a time where you were really obsessed with Titanic. Yeah. And you're like, I've seen the Titanic 30 times. And I was like, I wish to see it 31 times for Phantom Menace. So I was like,
oh, remember that crazy. Great pod racing game?
The pod racing in general, Phantom Menace, is really good. I could talk about that the whole hour, so why don't we just get right to the description?
Right. In case people don't know what this is about, Michael, tell them at home.
I'm going to read the IMDb description for Star Wars Episode 4 New Hope. Luke Skywalker joins forces with a Jedi Knight, a cocky pilot, a Wookiee, and two droids. Didn't mention the princess. To save the galaxy from the Empire's world-destroying battle station while also attempting to rescue Princess Leia from the mysterious Darth Vader.
Really undermines Princess Leia's role in this.
And Princess Leia is also there. That's her role.
They saved her. That was it.
Yep.
Cool.
Colleen, have you seen this movie before?
I have seen this movie a few times.
What are your initial impressions?
So this is going to sound like a real hot take. Are you ready for this?
Yeah. What's it?
So I've seen this movie a million times. I mean, you and I, we were pod racing in the basement when we were kids.
Yeah. It's a great game.
Yeah. I've probably seen it a few times as an adult, but every time we watch as an adult, we're in a group and we're making snarky comments and I'm online looking at facts. So this time I sat down, just watched it beginning to end, no distractions. And I'm like, this is a great movie, actually. Like, it's so enjoyable and funny. And it is, again, maybe a little controversial, but it's so adorable. It is a cute ass movie. And I just... I had a really fun time watching it.
Junis, what are your general impressions of the film? Did you see it recently?
Yes. And I also saw it about a year ago for the first time. My general impressions were that agree 100% with Colleen. Overall, just a great film. But not only does it stand out amongst others of its time, I feel like it really paved the way for... different genres, not only sci-fi, but kind of paved the way for a lot of films in the future. I thought it was impressive and like Colleen said, just quite delightful and enjoyable.
And Judas makes a really good point of the time. This film came out in 1977, and as has been well established on this podcast, the 70s is the worst decade
for
films.
Bad, yeah.
So bad. I think, Mikey, you may... why don't you say your initial impressions first?
Oh, sure. Mine are exactly the same as yours, because I saw it with you, and I'm like, wait a minute. I know I like this movie, but I actually like really like this film movie. It's like actually really good. The characters are so cute, and they seem like such good friends, and I just want to hang out with them.
But they're all weirdly well-rounded characters for how little screen time we have, and...
The movie, yeah. I mean,
well-rounded for that kind of movie, sorry.
Yeah. It's just really good. And I thought I would like it for the effects. I thought I'd really like for the music. But the character, it just really got me. I'm like, wait, this is good, actually.
And I actually like care about them succeeding. And yeah, but Michael, cheer? You said something about how like the pacing in this film is so good, especially for a 70s movie. Like, I've actually seen some people online complain about how it kind of is a little slow to get going. And I totally disagree. Like, it takes us a while to meet our protagonist, but...
We got to wrap up this segment, so I'm just going to say... the pacing is... I think the movie does a lot within its time frame.
Yes.
Speaking of time, it is... Bam!
Time for Sam.
And this is a segment of our show where our cousin Samantha is going to tell some awesome facts about the film that you may not know.
I mean, some of us will probably know.
Well, you might know him.
We've maybe read a few things about Star Wars.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say that this film was probably up there with Titanic and the hardest to research just because all the facts are so well known.
But. Sam, if it's your fact about Endor, I already know.
What's, okay.
I have no facts about Endor.
Well, that's
we'll give context for the joke, or else it doesn't make any
sense. Oh, so in Return of the Jedi, the little teddy bears, the Ewoks, they live on the forest moon of Endor. So I was like, does that mean it's the forest moon of the planet Endor, or is the moon called Endor? Answer, both.
Sam, is that one of your facts?
No, and here's why. Because I did research for the film Star Wars, which does not have Endor on it. It also
I feel foolish.
Fun fact I didn't mention, scientists. It also doesn't say Tatooine in the film.
Well,
that is cool.
Sand everywhere. That's another joke, a prequel joke.
Sorry. Starting here, George Lucas was inspired by the show Flash Gordon and wanted to make a movie about it.
Flash. That's a Queen song from
it
the movie.
It is,
Flash
and it's
Gordon.
A fabulous.
Just let her do the facts.
Nope.
When he couldn't get the rights, he decided to create his own space opera. His idea, yeah, that's what he used the words for. Colleen's laughing over there.
I think that's appropriate, don't you think?
Space opera? No, I don't. I think it's pretentious nonsense.
Oh, I like it.
No. I mean, if that's the most pretentious.
Do you think shows calling themselves a soap opera is pretentious?
No, because I feel like it's ironic.
Actually, Jedi is Japanese for soap opera.
Whoa. I was so waiting for a fact that I didn't know. And you just went off right off the bat.
I haven't even gotten started yet.
I know.
Okay, right. This is exciting. Yes. Okay. This idea would go on for many years and many, many rewrites and would eventually morph into a story about a galaxy far, far away.
Mm.
Thank you.
Star Wars.
Lucas would go to pretty much every studio to try and get his space film made, and they all turned him down. Most hilariously to me, Disney was one of the first companies that Lucas presented his idea to. They would pass immediately. And in 2013, Disney would buy the Star Wars franchise for $4 billion. Lucas finally talked with 20th Century Fox, who agreed to make his film. To get the deal signed, Lucas agreed for a tiny budget and a lower salary. He did, however, get to keep full merchandising rights to the film.
Which, best business deal ever.
At the time, this was considered insane. Toys based off of movies were not major sellers. However, the risk paid off, and toys based on this movie would become so popular, the companies making them would actually run out, and they would sell you an empty box, and then when they would eventually get to make the item, they would mail it to you months later, like, as a, like...
John had this really awesome, huge Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, our brother.
And then an X-Wing. It was so... He had the best collection of stuff.
Man, he's so cool.
He's so cool.
So Star Wars actually changed the way that movies were merchandised.
Oh my God.
More toys?
Although, oh, by the way, so you were talking about how, like, no one bought it. If you want to be an effing nerd about all this, go and see Lucas's original concept art. You would pass, too.
Right after he signed with them, Lucas realized that 20th Century Fox had disbanded their visual effects department, like, right away. So Lucas would have to go on to create his own special effects company called Industrial Light and Magic. ILM would go on to do special effects for 300 films, including... all the Star Wars, all the Indiana Jones, Harry Potter, Jurassic Park, Back to the Future, Pirates of the Caribbean, Transformers, all the Marvel movies, E.T., and Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
It's fair to say now that they're the visual effects studio.
They are. Right. Pretty much like every cool visual effect, like technology you can think of, this company did.
And they are to FX as Jim Henson Company is to Muppets.
Exactly. And so they were started purely because they didn't have... 20th Fox to help them out, and they needed something for this movie. So this is really what started it up. Despite the huge technical advantages this movie had, some things were actually really technologically simple. So the famous opening was created by carefully placing 2-foot-wide die-cut yellow letters on a 6-foot-long black paper background. Then the camera just made a slow pass over the words. Really? It took a total of 3 hours to shoot.
It looks so good.
Yeah, awesome. It's literally just a camera moving over placed words. At the time the movie came out, it was required by the Directors Guild of America to have opening credits. George Lucas was so determined to have his now iconic opening that he resigned from the guild.
Damn.
So to be honest, this movie is so popular, like we talked about, that most of the fun facts are well known. So these are just a fun bunch of random Love ones it. I looked up.
Love it.
So these are probably well known, but bear with me. So the model of the Death Star was formed by using 2 domes. However, the material shrank when drying and it created like a ditch between the 2 halves. And this mistake would become the vital crevice the rebels used to destroy the Death Star.
John also had a Death Star.
Wait, anyway. Wait, hold on, hold on. The Death Star is 2 halves, right? Mm-hmm. And you see the little sign or in the little split between them.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually not where the trench is that they're flying through. The trench is vertical.
Oh, I didn't watch the movie with you guys. I forgot.
But you've seen the film.
It's been a while.
The trench is like near the northern hemisphere.
He uses the Force at the end.
I have seen that part, okay. Yes. Luke, use the Force.
He wins. Okay.
Thank you. So to get the sound of Darth Vader's breathing, the sound designer breathed into a microphone through a scuba mask. Vader is only on screen for 12 minutes in this movie, or about 10% of the entire film.
Well, that speaks a lot to what a great villain he is.
Exactly. His presence is really well known, even though he's not really in this. And also, A New Hope is the shortest film in the series at 121 minutes. I thought you two would appreciate that.
Absolutely.
I remember at one point I paused because I'm like, there's no way that this movie is only... Because like they had so much to do, but they did it.
And they blow up the Death Star very quickly.
They do.
Yeah.
So Lucas didn't offer a lot of directions while filming. It was noted that he was like really quiet and just didn't really say much. So if he was directing his actors, he would often just tell them to do things faster or more intense. One day, he lost his voice, and the crew just gave him 2 cue cards that said faster and more intense for him to just hold up.
Oh, that's Sam, awesome. I am learning so much.
I did not know a lot of this.
Star Wars opened in just 32 theaters. That's all they could get it for, was 32 theaters on May 25th, 1977. It would expand to 43 by that Friday. Lucas was so convinced that the movie would tank that he blew off to go to Hawaii with his good friend, Steven Spielberg. Fans of the podcast will remember that from way back that this was the trip that they came up with the idea of Indiana Jones. Lucas didn't believe anyone. They kept calling him and like telling him like, oh, it's a huge success. And he's like, okay, but he didn't like really believe it. Until he saw Walter Cronkite discussing the long lines of Star Wars on the evening news. Like, it made the news how popular this film was, and he was like, oh my God. So another podcast callback, Francis Ford Coppola was working on Apocalypse Now at the time, which he had to fund out of his own pocket. So after the success of Star Wars was obvious, he sent a telegram to Lucas's hotel in Hawaii requesting funding for Apocalypse Now.
That's awesome.
Approximately 60 theaters played the film continuously for over a year.
I feel like they could get away with that now.
Yeah. This film is also responsible for another theater norm. So at the time of this movie coming out, it was popular for theaters like you would pay for your ticket and then you could go in and you could just stay in there for as long as you wanted. It wasn't like you were paying for the showing. It was like you were paying to get in and then you could just hang out. However, the lines were so long and like so many people had to get in that they actually, the movie ended, they would have people leave, which was not known and is now common practice, but back then it wasn't. So this movie kind of started that trend.
Thank God, because I bet 12-year-old me would have stayed all day every day in Hell the movie theater to watch Titanic over and over again.
And me a Phantom Menace. Jeez, I'm sorry.
So this is the first ever sci-fi film to be nominated for a Best Picture. It was nominated for 10 Academy Awards and it won 7. It won Best Art Direction, Costume Design, Film Editing, Original Score, Best sound and best visual effects.
Ha, suck it, Gravity.
It also won 2 special awards for special achievements for sound effects editing and a scientific and engineering award. It was nominated for, but did not win, best actor in a supporting role for Alec Guinness. And Lucas was nominated for 3. Best original screenplay, best director, best picture. And all of those were won by Annie Hall.
Cool. Whoa. Michael's favorite film.
My favorite film. He's so funny. He is okay. He is cranky.
This fact actually blew my mind, but Star Wars is still to this day the 2nd highest grossing film in North America ever when adjusted for inflation.
That's weird that that doesn't come up more often when they, because I thought it was like Avatar, Titanic.
No. Those are like, if you're looking at the list without adjusting, okay, they're up there. But for adjusting for inflation, and you also have
you
to
say
remember,
North America, so it feels like
it's 3rd in the world. So okay, the world had one more film. I don't remember what that
is it
one
Gone
was.
Gone with the Wind is
Gone with the Wind is number one. Yeah. So you have to think of.
Michael.
I'm gonna throw this out there. I think it also has to do with the fact that like they've re-released into theaters multiple times.
Oh, that could. I mean, it's also a really good international flick, I think.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Because there isn't a lot of, like, now cultural touchstones that make it American.
So let's talk some AFI lists. So besides this movie being on the AFI list we are following, it has a couple other AFI acknowledgments I'd like to note. First of all, we are talking about the number one film for best film scores.
Duh.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, well, I thought that was an accomplishment.
Well, I mean, Gone with the Wind is a pretty good one, I guess.
Harry Potter, Sorcerer's Stone. That's my
that's
pick.
That's a really good. It's not on the AFI list?
It's my pick.
Okay.
That is a really good one.
That's my favorite one.
Same guy.
Oh, yeah.
We have a quote on the AFI list, ranked number 8. Any guesses?
Oh, quote?
Yep.
Oh, fuck.
If you strike me down now, I'll come back more powerful than you can ever imagine.
You guys are really stretching for it. It's the most obvious one.
Luke, use the Force.
May the Force be with you.
Oh, well.
Mos Eisley. I've never seen him. Okay. No.
How about this one?
What a piece of junk.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Uncle Owen.
We also have 2 heroes on our greatest hero list.
Han Solo and Luke Skywalker?
No, Han Solo is number 14.
That's crazy.
Number 37th, any other guesses?
Princess Leia?
No.
Well, lame. I give
Chewbacca.
Up.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, sure.
So after ILM successfully used computer-generated effects for Jurassic Park, Lucas finally felt like they had the technology to create his original vision for this movie. He would digitally remaster all the original films for a 20th anniversary.
Oh, I hadn't heard of this.
He also added scenes and redid different parts. To be honest, I'm a purist and I hate the new version, so I didn't care to research the changes too much. However, I would like to talk about one big change that the internet loves discussing. You guys know what it is?
It's a Han shot first.
It's Han shot first. Let's talk about it.
A really cool brother, John, has a shirt that says that.
That's really cool.
In the original cut of the movie, Han...
Can I say, sorry, I went to a game developers conference, and I went to a LucasArts specifically conference, and there you could get these custom drinks. This is a late night party, and on one shot, one side you could get shots that were Greedo shot first, and on one side was the Han shot first drinks. That's a fun awesome fact about me.
But who would go to the Greedo shot first at this
Losers! That's how you know where they are.
I feel like I would go there just to be ironic.
Well, yeah, they're losers, or are they really cool? You don't know.
Yeah, right.
It's a game.
So in the original cut of the film, Han is seen shooting Greedo first. In the 1997 re-release, Greedo is shown shooting at Han first. And finally, in the 2004 re-release, we're going to go with that, the two are shown shooting at almost the exact same time.
Which is what we saw on Amazon.
George Lucas has said that Han was always supposed to shoot second. However, in the script, it is shown that Han was supposed to make the first sudden move, aka the first shot. Harrison Ford has weighed in on this issue and is quoted as saying, "I don't know and I don't care."
Love it. Love it.
That's so Han.
And my
final... What am I, a nerd?
And my final fact for you today is one of my absolute favorite Star Wars facts.
Yay.
At one point, Lucas went to hang out with his good friend Steven Spielberg, who was working on his own film, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. They viewed both of their films and he was feeling really down. Remember, he was 100% convinced this movie wasn't going to do well. So he came up with an idea. Lucas bet Spielberg 2.5% of his Star Wars profits in exchange for 2.5% of Close Encounters of the Third Kind's profits. So his idea being like, if my movie flops, at least I'm going to get some money off of my friend Steve here. So your question of the day is, due to this bet, how much money has Spielberg earned
Can you say that number again?
So 2.5% of the profits.
2.5. And
it's just off of New Hope.
Just off of New Hope.
All right. I don't know anything about money, so I'm just
technically it would also be subtracting what Close Encounters of the Third Kind made, but don't worry about that.
Okay.
I have mine. Mine's $10 million.
Mine's $90 million.
Technically, Michael's closer.
God damn it.
It is $40 million so far he's made off of a movie he has had nothing to do with.
Michael, you're kicking my ass on trivia.
What's the score?
Michael's winning.
Yeah. Yay. All right. And that was bam.
Time for
that's a great segment. I learned a lot. Jedi is soap opera. I would never have thought
that. That's the only thing I'm going to remember.
That's the only thing I'm going to remember. What a great segment. So now we are going to go to our segment, Critics Corner,
where we hear from the best of the best on what they think of the film.
Best of the best minus Samantha.
Right.
So like Sam's.
Yes.
As we call them.
Lesser Samanthas,
when we're being professional.
So, Michael, do you want to start us off with our first critic who has this to say about Star Wars A New Hope?
All right. It's so fun to watch. Even now, I'm in my 30s and I've seen 100 times. Not literally. The characters, setting, soundtrack, and story are all top rate. Watch it now. That's from David Hogan.
And this is from Andrew, an Amazon reviewer, who said, I saw the movie in the theater when it came out. The remake is worthless and makes me physically sick. I regret spending money on it.
Junis, are you reading one?
This is also from Andrew, an Amazon reviewer. This movie was the worst by far. There was only one lightsaber fight, and they didn't even do any spins and stuff. Totes lame.
Totes lame.
Oh, so true, Andrew. I'll read one. This is from Robert Martin. In addition to being a slickly produced and highly entertaining adventure suitable for the whole family, Star Wars is richly evocative of a whole range of old film forms.
From the Globe and Mail.
Globe and Mail.
This is from Bill Bill.
Can I, before you read, I'm so jealous of these first four words that you get to read. Very, very excited.
Hey, boys and girls. Yeah. Am I the only one who hates this stupid movie? I mean, what's the big deal? What a letdown. From the beginning, things weren't promising. As for being science fiction, it manages to violate the most basic laws of physics without even trying. When Princess Leia watches her home planet blow up, we not only hear it through space, but we hear it at the same time we see it.
Oh, wow.
Anyone who's watched a jet at high altitude fly across the sky knows that ain't right. I suppose if I had been 10 years old when I saw this flick, I might have thought it was really neato. Park your brain at the door and you'll enjoy it, they tell me. Believe me, I tried. But I need something more in the order of a lobotomy for that.
Oh, he's too smart. He's too smart. He's too smart fucking for Star Wars. That's too bad.
All right, this next one is from James Mead from the San Diego Union Tribune. This is kind of cute. Star Wars is indeed a movie that dares to be different, not only in setting, but in theme, at a time when imagination has surrendered to realism in motion pictures. If you don't enjoy Star Wars, you are not as young at heart as you think you are.
So true.
Challenging.
Here's the last review, and I will pretend like it starts out, hey, boys and girls, even though that's not really what it says. Hey, boys and girls, I don't really remember buying this, but I do remember that I do have a college essay on it. I hated the movie. I don't even know where the VHS is anymore. That's from DJN, the Amazon reviewer.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. What are we doing now, Colleen?
So this is normally where we do a much fan favorite called Favorite Part, Least Favorite Part. But this is kind of a shared experience, this Star Wars film. So instead, we're going to do a little fun series of discussion questions for the crowd.
So excited.
Starting with fan favorite.
Starting with the same idea.
Favorite part, least favorite part. Michael.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Well, I want to talk about my least favorite part later because it's weird.
Okay.
But my favorite part is the friendship. I just think they're such good friends because you know the music's great. I already said this. You know the atmosphere is great. You know the special effects are great. Especially the shot where they blow up the planet and they're all like hugging each other and like patting each other on the back and being our friends. Excited. They're yelling at each other. It's like, oh, I want to hang out with them. That's my favorite part.
I think my favorite part is just what a, like, I think this is a expectations versus reality. It's just such a nice, tightly edited, great story. I feel like we watch movies, especially movies like Star Wars, and we have to pick apart every fucking thing. And it's like, Star Wars has so many mistakes in it.
Feel like, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
No, no, finish.
And it's just so, such an enjoyable watch, you don't even notice it.
I was just going to say, it's probably good practice to let the guest start. Anyway, Junis, what was your favorite part of the film?
That was a really good contribution. Thank you, Mike.
All right, so I have a favorite scene.
Okay.
And my favorite scene is the rescue of Princess Leia, because I think that scene really encompasses all the greatest parts of the film. It's Luke and Hans being cute buddies.
I love it.
Dressing up in the stormtroopers' outfits. and then all of them coming together, meeting each other, Princess Leia.
Aren't you a little short to be a stormtrooper?
Exactly. Her snarkiness. And then Hans with his cute little bit of like when the guys try to chat with him and he says, we're fine. How are you?
Everything's under control. Situation normal.
What happened?
Had a slight weapons malfunction, but everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
It was improvised, and it was just a great scene.
And then he shoots it, and he goes, boring conversation anyway.
Things are starting to pick up. I love that scene.
That's a really good answer. Junis, what's your least favorite part?
My least favorite thing about Star Wars, the first, the A New Hope, is that I just hate Luke's whininess. Mm. I can't stand it.
What's the worst part? What's the worst whine?
When we first meet him in Tatooine. I just feel like he's saying, you know, poor me, I don't get anything I want. However, I will say, I know we're not talking about the other films, you do have character development
Luke. Oh, yeah.
Unlike his dad.
I just thought of what my real favorite part is. There's a part where they're flying away from Tatooine or whatever, and Han Solo's like, all right, I gotta fly the ship, and all the lights are going, and Luke goes, oh, what's that? And I, like, loved it. That's my real favorite part. Clayton, what's your least favorite part?
Real simple. No Muppets. Go. Your least favorite
That's
part.
That's a bad favorite part. Okay, here's my favorite part. Here's my least favorite part. I actually just saw it right now. It's a really good film, you know, great series, but we don't have to talk about it all the time. So I'm like a nerd, so I like play a bunch of video games and I'm like in that space. People are like too into Star Wars, and I feel like I'm really into Star Wars. And even then, it's like
I feel that all the time.
People are like, come on, like, it's a fine film, like, do new things.
Okay, so for a long time, Michael, you're a little young, maybe even Junis, but I feel like when I was growing up, Star Wars was like a nerd thing, a niche thing. Like, it was still pretty popular in the world, but now we live in a time where, like, nerd culture is cool and it's kind of different, mm-hmm. a little more. It was always mainstream, but why do you think this was considered a nerd film?
I mean, you might have to, I don't know if I 100% buy the premise, because I was hanging out with my mom, because I'm really cool today. And I was asking her, and she's like, yeah, you were alive because you're old. What you saw in theaters, what was it like? She's like, it was a really good film. I didn't see the second one. And I feel like everybody who has that experience of, oh, I saw it in the theaters in the 70s, are like, it was just really good.
Mom's a surprising sci-fi nerd, you know. She, like, is really into Star Trek and stuff.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, and Sam confirmed this, is that everyone saw it. You know, it was a mainstream blockbuster hit.
Right, but being, into Star Wars.
Right, because your mom didn't have the action figures.
Well, here's the readjustment of the framing. Okay. You're like, why is it a nerd thing? I think it like was a just normal blockbuster movie, and then time passed, and then as it kind of faded into obscurity a bit, then it was a nerd thing.
Yeah,
just because everything from the past that like don't think about movies that are 20 years old have a life and think about new movies. I think is why it's a nerd movie.
Well, then you just answer the question.
I think that, you know, everybody can enjoy things that nerds enjoy, but this movie like. Paved the way for like paved the way for nerds. Like, it was like, it was like, they're like, finally, something for us.
Right. Okay. But Juno's like, so you're in eighth grade and you're listening to Fall Out Boy and you're real cool with your Hot Topics shirt going on. And you see a kid walking down the hall with a Star Wars shirt. You have some ideas about him.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. I absolutely did. We, there was a table we called the Star Wars table in our
There we go.
Yeah.
So the premise is there, but I
still
see,
feel
Michael,
like I feel but my
your answer was really good.
My answer is correct.
That's what I think.
I grew up loving the Star Wars films. I didn't read any of the fucking extended universe novels. Okay.
Are we addressing that we are better than those people?
No,
who
no,
did?
No, no, no.
Okay.
I was so whenever I was in school. And people would like have Star Wars stuff. I would like love it because I'm like, oh my God, I love those movies. And people be like, oh my God, you don't even know anything. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you know, you haven't watched the fucking cartoon, whatever.
It was a cartoon.
They had Christmas specials also.
Oh, you're thinking about Clone Wars.
Of course I'm thinking about Clone Wars. You know, like there was.
Of course you know about this.
Until people now know that gatekeeping is a thing that we should not like. When I was younger as a girl, I would never talk about liking Star Wars because they'd be like, but you don't really like Star Wars.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's the question?
I don't know. I'm just complaining.
That's that question.
Oh, no. Let me bring it all around.
Yeah,
because,
please.
So I think the trilogy is actually pretty good at world building. Like, you know, you're in it. You're having a fun time. You're not lost with the details of the world.
Yeah.
But like, it's not high sci-fi, right? It is cowboys in space.
You like it because they're friends.
Right.
You don't need to be a nerd to like Friends.
Some might say it gets in the way.
Some might say it.
I'm just saying, it's not like, this isn't like some deep, crazy, really interesting cultural, political stuff. Like,
we're talking about 2001 again, aren't we?
Oh, God. Right. Like, why can't I just enjoy a film, I guess?
Is that the question? You can't. That's the answer.
This is just inside of me. Can I just have my feelings and get them out on the podcast?
What's the next question?
So the answer is no.
No.
Is Star Wars overrated?
Yeah, but it's still very good. That's my answer.
Junis, what do you think? Especially as someone who has been told it's good her whole life, avoided watching it, now watch it. What do you think?
I don't think it's overrated. I don't think it's underrated. I think it's perfect.
Wow.
Excellent.
I mean,
I think it is what it is, and I think it deserves all the credit it gets.
The massive influence it's had on culture and film.
It does deserve all the credit, I guess. I mean, it's a good film.
Yeah, it doesn't need more credit than it has.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel. It's neutral. You know, right. it's in its right spot.
I do feel like now, because there's so many more movies and so many more people are into it, like now it almost has some baggage that it's almost hard to just enjoy as a standalone film, A New Hope, which it is. It's just a good film.
Yeah, it's a good film.
Now, this is a really important question. I want you guys to really think about your answer.
Shit. All right. I have been drinking, but
Mary F. kills Star Wars characters.
Oh, shit. Yes.
Junis, would you like to start us off?
Okay. I would like to say that I would obviously kill Luke. Because
he obviously
is very annoying. Okay. I don't see him as the heartthrob that he was known to be in the 70s.
Okay, I asked my mom that. She's like, no, he was just a baby face.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I've heard that he was...
I think she's lying, too, because I've definitely seen covers of him on, like, Teen Beat or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, so. Diane had high standards. Okay.
Oh, yeah. He had the classiest Teen Beats.
All right. I would fuck Han Solo.
Yeah.
Here's my thing with that, though, and Mikey and I get this. I don't think he was the heartthrob that everybody thinks he was. And I know that's a very controversial opinion, but here's what I'm into about him and his character. I really like his cowboy-esque,
swagger.
He's gonna be a dick to me, but he'll also be, you know, like his cute little flirtiness. And
can I say something about that? That I feel weird because, like, I think he's so attractive in this film, but I think he's like a weird looking dude. Harrison Ford.
He's a weird looking dude.
And
I
also, thank you.
I don't. Yeah.
But he's got a nice bod.
I don't really like the dudes with swagger. Like, I don't think Tony Stark is charming. I think he's just an asshole. But for some reason, it works with Han Solo.
Maybe what you like is that he's kind of a goofball
too. Yes! Maybe that is what I like.
You kind of want to hug him and squeeze him. Right. And then fuck him, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely want to fuck the shit out of him. Okay.
I mean, he's not going to be my F because I think he'd be a little lazy.
I thought hard about this and it's going to be a weird answer, but I do not care. I want to marry Chewie.
Whoa. Why? Yeah. Why is that powerful? Here,
yeah.
Well, rip your arms off.
Whose arms would he rip off if he loves them?
Oh, good point.
That's a good point.
Yeah. He will be my protector, though, and he'll rip other people's arms off, that's which I need in this.
I mean, it is a lawless world.
Cutthroat world.
You really need that.
You're on the brink of war.
He's somebody I can snuggle with at night. He's just a cute, snuggly, cuddly bear. I don't have to get into long, deep conversations because we don't speak the same language.
I like that. That's like a deal breaker for you in a marriage. Like, I don't want to talk to you.
We're just going to cuddle all the time. Aww. And he's going to make those cute little noises. And you know, I don't know what he's packing down there, but it's got to be good.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Wasn't expecting that.
It's marry, fuck, kill. What do you expect?
Play the game. So, Colleen, who'd you marry, fuck, kill?
I'm going to F. Okay, this is a surprising one, but Princess Leia.
Can I just say that? I love how you wrote F in the Google Doc. Marry, F, kill.
That is what I did. I don't want to swear in our Google Doc.
Do not swear. So it's a place for children.
Here's why I would F Leia, because I just feel like she is such a spitfire. Like, she would be there for it, but I don't think I could marry her because that's like too much responsibility. I cannot co-lead a rebellion. It's just
a lot of pressure.
Too much.
Love the term spitfire. What does that mean?
She's here for it. She's like in your face.
Yeah, and it's exactly how you picture it.
Spitting and then breathing fire. I don't know if that came across.
It did.
Okay, excellent.
I think I would kill C-3PO because he's just like such a downer. I do not understand why a slave kid built a robot to help out at home who's a persnickety British guy who speaks a lot of languages. It makes no sense.
Probably go to parties.
That's a good answer.
I think I would marry Obi-Wan Kenobi because I think he'd have a lot of fun stories, and that's very important to me in a marriage.
Don't you want any spontaneity?
Then he would die pretty soon. And
He is going to die soon,
which I like. That's very important to me.
Let's see. Who are the major characters?
But also he would be a protector if we're going to... Yeah.
And he is laying low at this point in his life.
I feel like he knows how to relax. You don't have to go to parties. He used to be Ewan McGregor, which is also important to me.
I like current Ewan McGregors. I'll marry... Who am I going to marry? I'll marry Princess Leia. Was that your answer?
No, she wants to fuck her.
Yeah.
Because of the Spitfire, remember?
I'm going to kill Darth Vader because he's the villain.
But we won't get Empire Strikes Back.
Well, Luke will just be cold for no reason then.
But Mikey's the hero then.
I'm the hero.
You did it.
And I'll fuck Han Solo. I just didn't want to be unoriginal. But he's the guy.
Yeah.
He's the guy. He's having adventures. He's probably he's probably not clean, but anyway, what is the next part of this podcast?
You forgot anybody.
Forgot to kill Princess somebody. No, oh, you Darth.
I got them all.
Well
so
done.
So the next part of the podcast is the intern summary, where we just go through the plot of the film in case you at home have never seen this or forgotten, which actually I did forget some things.
Yeah.
Michael, you want to? No, Junis. Mm. You want to start us out?
Man, we're good hosts.
We're so good at this. Yes, paragraph picker.
Okay.
It's like you're in homeroom.
Popcorn.
Great reference.
An Imperial Star Destroyer attacks a rebel convoy in search of the stolen plans to their new battle station, the Death Star.
Which, really good opening.
Yeah, I'm just quoting the Plinker reviews, but the shot of the tiny little ship and then the downward angle of the massive ship is like, we understand everything we need to know about this film with this one shot.
Right, but also they come in with a lot of dialogue that you think maybe you'd get lost in, like, oh, the rebels are here, where are the plans? But like, you totally get it. Even though there's a bit of complexity, you're very understanding the mechanics of the plot, right? Yeah.
Leading the campaign is none other than Darth Vader. He and his forces search the entire ship but find no plans, just Princess Leia and a bunch of rebels we will never see or hear from again.
Yeah, what happened to those guys?
Oh. Popcorn who?
Popcorn Colleen.
Oh, okay.
Unbeknownst to the Empire, two droids, C-3PO and R2-D2, escape with the plans because they escape in a pod and they're about to blow up the pod, but they're like, there are no life forms on that.
Hold your fire. There's no life forms. must have short-circuited.
Even though they know droids
and robots don't exist.
They escape with the plants and have landed on the desert planet below, which is Tatooine. They are purchased by a farmer named Owen and his nephew, Luke Skywalker. R2-D2 escapes from Luke's custody to search for someone named Obi-Wan Kenobi, which is the best because it's like, oh, he's looking for someone named Obi-Wan Kenobi. Could it be like Ben Kenobi? I don't know. That'd be crazy. Luke,
I'll just quote the Family Guy thing. Obi-Wan Kenobi. I wonder if he means old Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's a good joke.
Luke follows the little droid, and after a tussle with some sand people, they find Ben Kenobi, who shockingly turns out to be Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I hate the sand people.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. That's what they sound like.
Yeah, it's true.
Obi-Wan lays down some truth on the young Luke, telling him about his lightsabers, the Force, and Luke's father's fate, which, okay, he does lie, right? He's like, oh, your dad is dead.
A young Jedi named Darth Vader, who was a pupil of mine until he turned to evil, helped the Empire hunt down and destroy the Jedi Knights. He betrayed and murdered your father.
He means Anakin Skywalker is dead. Whatever.
Like, dude, come on.
Like, he's alive. Don't be an asshole.
I'm not touching you. It's the same kind of logic.
Right.
Imperial stormtroopers, having picked up the droids' trail, locate and murder.
Sir, droids. Sorry.
And locate. I mean, I'm just going to put the clips in. So you don't have to do the clips.
Look, sir, droid.
Locate and murder Luke's family with no ties to the planet. Well, he does have friends, I think.
No, they're all in flight school, or they're all in rebel school.
That was part of the exposition. Luke agrees to go with Obi-Wan to Alderaan to deliver the stolen plans and learn the ways of the Force at Mos Eisley.
Which is a pit of scum and villainy.
Yes, thank you. They charter a sexy ride with Han Solo and Chewbacca, crew of the Millennium Falcon.
Okay, can we talk about Han Solo?
What about him?
Can we actually rewind to Alderaan? Fun fact that was not mentioned. I waited until after. Alderaan was pronounced 5 different ways in the film.
I know Alderaan and Alderaan. Do you know what the other ones are?
Alderaan.
Oh, that is a fun one.
And sometimes within just like in the same scene, they would be responding to each other and they would say it differently.
I mean, there are some parts of this film where like you can see the low budget or the kind of like quick putting together. And there is, we didn't talk about the first scene we... Oh, wait, have we seen that? Oh, maybe we don't talk about that. But there's a first scene where we meet Princess Leia and she has a British accent and then never again.
Slip through your fingers.
Yeah. And then we're like, all right.
And then they're like, I'm going to blow up Alderaan. She's like, no shit.
Okay. You want to talk about Han Solo?
Yeah. I don't know what it, because I don't even find his Indiana Jones character that hot, but there's just something about Han Solo. But I do the goofball. Because Indiana Jones is not goofy.
Yeah. He's not goofy.
Is that what it is? The goofiness?
I need a goofy man.
Yeah, I mean the humor. Yeah.
I just don't like this whole like cold dick aloof thing.
Han Solo is funnier than Tony Stark.
Yes, and because Tony Stark is only funny when he's trying when he's just being a sarcastic
like,
asshole.
Haha, I'm the best.
But he's like, oh gosh, gee. That's what I like.
Well, I feel like it's his dark mystery that I'm attracted to. Not him being an asshole in its entirety, but there's some darkness behind that him being an asshole.
Yes, you know? You're allowed to like that he's an asshole. I don't no judgment. So yeah, I think we can all just agree. And that his shirt is cut down to the middle of his chest.
Perfect costume.
And it's nice. It's like that speckled sweatiness.
Speckled sweatiness. That's my new favorite
In a
phrase.
Northern location. In a northern. Would be just
we're getting
great.
Into inside jokes. Clean. Oh, where are we?
Love to be a part of one day.
Popcorn, Michael.
What's my paragraph? The flying not so
Imperial stormtroopers.
Imperial stormtroopers having picked up. Wait, I just read that.
you just read
oh
the
my
one.
God. Oh, you have to popcorn.
Oh, popcorn, Junus.
All right, and are we on the Imperial
flying the not so friendly?
Okay, sorry. Flying the not so friendly skies, the Millennium Falcon evades the Imperials and makes the jump to light speed.
Can you pause a second? For some reason, this does not have the part of the Death Star blowing up Alderaan, which is a pretty big...
It's a pretty crucial element.
Yeah.
Film,
we also haven't... Let's talk about Princess Leia for a second, if we can.
Oh, please.
Because I think she's really awesome, especially for a 70s movie protagonist. Now, I'm not saying she's a perfect feminist hero
she's
or anything.
She's not really the protagonist.
No. She's... a protagonist?
She's a damsel in distress.
She's a damsel in distress who gets it done and is leading the rebellion.
When she's not in distress.
I mean, there's some distress.
There's some distress.
Hey, she holds up to torture.
It's true.
They threaten to blow up her planet, and she still doesn't give them the
information. She reacts realistically to torture, which is you just lie, which everyone should just do that.
Right. Jack Bauer lied to you guys. Torture doesn't work.
Yeah, torture doesn't work. Where are we?
No, I just wanted to get your guys' feeling on Leia. I think she is something like people grow up with and they might overrate as a feminist hero, but I think she's really great, actually. She's funny and she's fierce, and I love her sparring with Han Solo. And I can't believe she was 19.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I don't like to think about that age difference. There was 33 years, by the way.
Because Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher were fooling around.
Sorry, not 33 years age difference, 13 years age difference.
Was it 13?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, still kind of gross, but
are you sure?
I mean, he was in his early 30s.
Oh, I think his current wife is 33 years.
Oh, yeah. No, that's weird.
Okay.
Anyway.
Sorry. Off track.
They have really good chemistry, and I like their biting. Because I just feel like she... So, like, in The Empire Strikes Back, when he's, like, kind of gross and predatory, like, you don't feel it as much because she's, like...
Because she holds her own.
Yeah. Right.
Which makes her not a typical damsel in distress.
Right.
So I don't even like to call her that, because it's like she wasn't even craving the help.
Right.
Like,
I mean, there was
Luke walks in to save her, and she's like, oh, all right. Like, she was doing
and
fine.
She insults him immediately.
Exactly. Yeah, and then like in her first scene, she's shooting lightsabers trying to save herself. Like, she's still a badass.
I think so.
You know what else is good? So, like, I feel like if she was the typical, stereotypical princess role, you'd be like, oh, she's the woman, whatever, and she falls in love with our main hero, whatever. She's nothing. She's awesome. Carrie Fisher is awesome, and that probably what helps her elevate her role from off of that. But maybe what also helps is that Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher have no romantic chemistry at all.
That does.
So they're
help.
Like, oh, they just seem like friends, which makes her a better character.
Right, because I feel like they do kind of try to set it up like I don't know if they even knew they were going to do that brother sister twist.
Maybe
because,
not.
Like, because he at the beginning says, she's so beautiful, you know?
And it's like, you don't even buy it.
Not at all. When they're together, when she like kisses him,
it's a business casual kiss.
Right.
Yeah, it seems like it's clearly just a joke kiss.
Oh, God, but her and Harrison.
And maybe they were like, we can't do Mark and Carrie in the next movie. It has to change.
Oh, yeah. Man. It's so good.
But back to Princess Leia. I absolutely think she was a fantastic feminist, and not just for 1977. Like, I don't think just in this context. I think today, her role as a feminist still stands strong.
I think she's a better character than Captain Marvel.
Whoa.
Well, because Captain Marvel's a nobody, but
we were debating on Google Hangouts because you were prepping us with these questions, and you said Carrie Fisher or Princess Leia was a good feminist character because she's so strong. And that's the idea that I would have refuted, is like, you're a good feminist character because you're a woman and strong. But
right,
I think
you need to be filled out more. But I think she's also flawed and...
Right. I mean, she's a normal person.
Yes.
Like, the narrative actually cares about it, and she's not some weird other thing.
I guess the other reason I would kind of classify her in the strong feminist kind of thing is, like, you know, there aren't really that many good heroes, especially in sci-fi fantasy, for girls to look up to. They're a lot better now, but when I was a kid, like, it was, like, Princess Leia. It was... Captain of Voyager in Star Trek. Like,
Captain Janeway, yep.
Captain Janeway, thank you. Not a lot of options, you know?
I mean, that's also helped.
And Janeway was a terrible character. Totally inconsistent.
There's also 10,000 shows now. That probably helps.
It helps. And like, people are like, oh, women are people too now. Like, they're kind of, they're a little more into that now.
Yeah, that.
So, you know, so I guess for me, just in a historical pop culture way, that's important.
Totally.
And yeah, I think she holds up.
I said all my Leia thoughts.
That's all my Leia thoughts as well. So... I interrupted you, Junus.
When they come out of hyperspace, they learn that the Death Star has destroyed the planet, and they're captured by the Death Star. Popcorn clean.
That's Snow Moon. I can't resist. It's too fun.
Our heroes trick stormtroopers into the... Oh, wait. Pause. So Junus and I have both been pregnant recently, so we both shared a shirt that had a Death Star on our bump, and it said, that's no moon.
Very cute.
People did think it was very cute.
People liked it because Junis threw me a Star Wars themed baby shower.
Very cute.
So cute. I was remembering those Jello shots that were in the shape of characters from Star Wars
that I could not have.
It was a fun baby shower.
Yeah,
okay?
I want people to have fun. Nobody likes watching gifts opening. Anyway, our heroes trick stormtroopers into the Falcon, steal their clothes, and seize a nearby control room, which was very cute. Like, it was very Scooby-Doo, the whole thing.
Yeah, love it. I mean, that's the whole movie.
Yeah. Obi-Wan goes to turn off the power to the tractor beam while Luke convinces Han Solo to help him rescue the princess, which he is real stone cold in that. But he's like, I don't care about some princess.
That's also, he's like so, like... He's not very deep. I don't feel like
no.
All his feelings are just really out there.
He's like, but
he's
you like
I'm upset. You know, if you know, he just says it. He just says
what
he's thinking.
Which I like a man who can communicate.
Absolutely.
Maybe I want to marry Han Solo. popcorn, Junis.
The heroes manage to rescue Leia, and after a quick detour through the trash compactor, return to the Falcon. Obi-Wan.
Oh, wait, can I say I love that part?
I was waiting for that.
I love the part where they finally get C-3PO on the micro because they couldn't get him on the communicator. And they finally get him like, turn off the trash compactor, we're about to die. And then they get so excited. And he's like, listen to them dying. R2, I couldn't save them. And it's so funny.
Listen to them. They're dying, R2. Curse my metal body. I wasn't fast enough. It's all my fault.
That was a very fun scene.
Well, it's a crazy scene because at the end of the movie, you're like, God, what a great group of friends. They've been through so many adventures together. That's like the one time. That's like the one thing they did.
That's actually true.
But he feels like a lot.
It does. I mean, imagine being smashed to your death.
Oh, you're friends for life.
Yeah.
For sure.
You're not going anywhere.
I'm aware there's a million parts of the movie we can do this for, but it's weird that they're obviously in that trash compactor and nobody's after them in there.
Or, I mean, there should be obvious escape gizmos for them to just go outside the door.
I think our dad came in at that part and there's like, it's crazy there isn't an emergency stop in that room.
Could have been me. I mean, I feel like I was pretty on that. But anyway, please continue.
Obi-Wan turns off the tractor beam, but is confronted by Darth Vader on his way back to the ship.
But they have no spins in their lightsaber fight, so.
Yeah, or flips.
With a knowing smile, Obi-Wan willingly perishes at the business end of Darth Vader's lightsaber.
Who wrote business end?
Yeah, that.
How else do you say it?
He was killed?
Yeah. At the business end. Interesting choice. God.
Our intern likes to get a little creative sometimes. It can get boring.
Are you trying to describe Luke and Leia's relationship? Come on.
Sorry, who's the intern?
You know, the Flares on Film
intern. The Flares on Intern.
Is that...
It's a bit we do. It's Colleen.
All right. It's adorable. Luke witnesses his mentor's demise, but escapes with the others thanks to some otherworldly prompting by Obi-Wan.
Yeah, he talks in his head a lot. It's very cute, I guess.
Popcorn.
Popcorn, Michael.
Thank you. Leia leads the Millennium Falcon to the Rebel base on Yavin 4. Although she suspects the Empire is tracking them.
Oh, I also like that moment for Leia's character. We're like, ha ha! Like Han and Luke are like, yeah, we got him. And she's like, you idiots, they let us go. They're obviously tracking us.
They let us go. It's the only explanation for the ease of our escape.
I don't know why. I just like that she is a useful character who does, like,
she's not just along for the ride.
Well, so there's a lot of movies, and I don't know if this is a lot of movies, but in the 90s, there was always these movies with strong female characters who would just be like unnecessarily antagonistic, but not actually useful. Like, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, like Marion just goes and like nails him in the nuts, but she's still a damsel in distress. Like, that's just as an example. Like,
but it's also, she doesn't say it as like, haha, look how strong I am. It's like actually very relevant information.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, we're being tracked right now.
Boys, you're idiots.
Right.
I'm going to go away now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, she's just like, oh, she's just an equal who has more information because she's good at her job.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Using R2's data, the rebels strategize to destroy the Death Star by having a one-man starfighter launch a photon torpedo into a tiny exhaust port connected to the station's reactor.
It's like, it's impossible! It's 2 meters! And then what, Michael? But he used us up.
Han Solo decides to skip the suicide run and settle his debt with Jabba the Hutt.
Well, take care of yourself, Han. I guess that's what you're best at, isn't it?
Which I thought was, Because he likes money. He doesn't like risking his own neck.
I love Han Solo. Like, I like money. He's like just so simple of a character.
Mikey?
Am I still rating?
You got a popcorn.
Oh, yeah. Popcorn clean.
The Death Star prepares to destroy the Rebel base, while Luke joins the Rebels in their offensive. Most of the Rebels are killed in the fight, but Han Solo returns the most dramatic moment to save Luke's life. Yay! Luke makes a fatal shot, blows up the Death Star, and returns the Rebels a hero. Yay! Popcorn, Junis.
One award ceremony later, and it's happy endings all around. Well, except for Darth Vader. Ha ha ha. Who will be lost in space until the sequel?
Should we do a little bro call?
I don't have my phone. You have your phone.
I do have my phone.
This is a segment we call Brother John, or maybe someone else is going to answer.
Call Michelle Block.
What?
Our brother John, who did have a Millennium Falcon, is not available.
Should we explain that Michelle is married to John?
Nah.
Okay.
Oh.
Oh, there we are.
Hello.
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 Michelle.
Hi.
You're on Flirties on Films, the podcast. We're talking about a little film called Star Wars. Have you seen it? What did you think?
Well, being married to your brother, yes, I have seen it. I don't know if this has come up yet, but this is John's number one favorite movie of all time. Yeah,
not A New Hope. Is it?
No.
Oh, really?
Star Wars number one.
I thought that Empire Strikes Back was his favorite.
No, I clarified today. This is
Whoa.
His favorite. Yeah.
Was Phantom Menace his favorite?
This is it. This is his favorite movie.
Michelle, did you know that there are no fun flips in the lightsaber fights? No spinnies?
Yeah, there's only one ending, not five.
You mean Yoda doesn't flip over someone's head with a lightsaber?
Right. We haven't talked about this yet on the podcast, but Mikey said the funniest thing is, like, it's so funny that the Phantom Menace exists. Like, there's this weird cultural thing of a movie we've all seen that sucks.
Yeah, we just don't talk about it. Yeah.
I talk about it all the time.
Michael talks about it constantly.
So, John and I once watched all six movies, except for the first one, in a single day, and John was like, we just ignore the first one. It's fine. We watched 2 through 5 in a single day.
Wait, I'm sorry. So he thinks
2 through 6.
So he thinks 2 and 3 are good films, but Phantom Menace is no good?
No, it was just like, can we watch, what is that, 5 movies in
You're
a
skipping
day
the Gungan no, City? Jesus.
Do you know Junis watched all the films for the first time, never having seen any Star Wars films? But she watched it in like chronological order. So she watched all 3 prequels and then still went on. I would have given
up. I did the same thing in college.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was my introduction to the film.
Although she had all the new ones too. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had A New Hope in there. Or A New Hope. We had
What's the one where they're like with the
Rogue One.
Thank you. Rogue One.
Which I controversially like. Oh, sorry.
Well, how is that controversial?
I like Rogue One too. I think it's a great film.
I think the internet doesn't.
Oh, I like it.
Oh, yeah. We're same page here. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway. So,
anyways.
What are more impressions of the film or thoughts?
Thoughts. I have some of John's thoughts, and then I'll go into some of my own. Mm-hmm. John's favorite character is the Star Wars universe. He wrote that down verbatim.
John.
Oh, boy.
I kind of agree with him because
Michael is rolling his eyes so
Not
hard.
Rolling my eyes. Not rolling my eyes. No judgment.
He's lying too.
Well, I think this is less pretentious than when we all watched.
I might even agree with him.
2001.
Actually.
So.
Yes.
There's that. He really loves that the world building is so effortless, and I do agree with him. There's a lot of just like throwaway lines that then spawn entire like novel series and movies. Like there's a throwaway line about the Clone Wars.
Yeah. You helped my father in the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
That's the line.
So he really loves stuff like that. And I do too, frankly. I think all of
But you don't like any of those spin-off properties, though.
I liked Rogue One. I really did.
Oh,
so there's that one.
I was talking about Clone Wars. Nobody's ever seen it.
Oh, well, I don't know. A cartoon Star Wars thing seems weird to me.
Well, it's all cartoons, right?
But it's more about when you watch it that it feels like a really full, fleshed out, living and breathing universe.
Right. It's almost like accidentally good. Like the way it's.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. The details when they're on Tatooine, when he's like with his family.
Sure.
I don't know if you were looking, but the pot his aunt cooks in looks nothing like any pots we own. And there's just a lot of those details that remind you, this is alien. These are all aliens.
Remember in the second prequel when they're in a 1950s diner, but it's on a foreign planet? Do you remember? Because I remember.
That's the good one. That's better than Phantom Menace.
A lot of stuff. Also because, was it Hans Christian? No. Who is that kid?
Hayden Christensen.
Yeah. He's terrible.
He's fine. He's fine.
Michael.
He's all right. I like him.
No. Michelle and Judas haven't existed on the nerd internet where they've been piling on him for 10 years. So, like, they're allowed to have that opinion.
I'd fuck him. I'm just going to say that.
What's wrong with his opinion? It's just objectively correct.
It is correct. I think Mikey's just, like, seen so many people pile on him, he feels a little bad about it.
And apparently, like, he goes to Star Wars cons and, like, everyone loves him now, and he's just, like, having a great time.
Really?
So, yeah.
I'm like the kid, Anakin, who was, like, bullied so badly he never acted again.
Yeah, I think
again.
Blake Lloyd, yeah, no one likes
that
guy.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Star Wars fans.
Is he okay?
No.
Judas, that was such a nice question. Okay. No. Anyway. Thoughts.
Let's see. Princess Leia is my favorite character.
Yeah.
I don't care that that is cliche. I don't care at all. Any princess that then grows up to be a general, I'm into. I like it.
But she did. I mean, was she qualified to be a general, or did she just demand that role because of her authoritarian power?
It's fine.
I think both.
You sure?
Well,
fair enough.
I mean, she ended up being good at it, so maybe the ends justify the means.
I mean, how do you get good at something besides trying it?
It's also unclear why she's a princess, though. I mean, she was just raised by Jimmy Schmidt. Anyway, sorry, we're getting into the larger universe.
Jimmy Schmidt.
It's not important. She's great.
She's great. What else? John told me a whole bunch of things. We have a Star Wars bathroom.
I do know that about you.
Yeah.
Get to the key items.
The key items. Hold on.
The Kill Mary F Star Wars characters.
The F is fuck. Did you call her that?
I think she knows.
Oh, okay.
Are you thinking about it?
So here's the reason why John doesn't like why John thinks the first Star Wars movie is the best movie.
Uh-huh.
It's because all of the subsequent ones have baggage from there being like such a full universe and a lot of things going on that they have to juggle things simultaneously. Whereas the first one is introducing all of that, so it's a bit cleaner and straighter.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. It's funny. We actually talked about Star Wars in one of my college lit classes about it being a classic hero's tale.
For sure.
Yeah. Even though I think Luke Skywalker is really whiny.
That's what Judas said.
So whiny. And he looks like such a nerd when he comes back and like is, I don't know. Like, a
lot of nerd bashing going on.
But he has such beautiful hair.
I had never noticed that.
Is anyone looking at Harrison Ford? Have you seen him at all?
I have seen him. I have seen him with that shirt cut down to there. Yeah.
Oh, remember the part where he's just running and chasing all the stormtroopers?
Yes, and I forgot that part. I love that part.
Sorry. We're reminiscing.
Remember when Han Solo, he just goes, he like does a primal yell and he's just running at the stormtroopers. And for some reason, though, they all have guns. They turn around and run.
And then me, the very clever, witty person, say, idiots, we've all got swords.
That's from Aladdin.
Oh boy, good stuff.
Yeah, it is.
God, he is so goofy.
He's so goofy.
That's why I was sorry. Earlier, we were talking about like why I think he's attractive, even though I don't like the normal dick characters. But I think it's also that he's a goofball.
He is a goofball, but I'm into sometimes the bad boys, so he's just up my alley.
Same page.
Yeah, I get it. Here's my one quibble with it: parsecs. All
right.
It's not.
You can't do the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs.
It's fat. I'm pretty sure it's high. how fast light travels in a second. I'm pretty sure.
Nerd!
Anyway. Well, yeah, it's a movie about space. You should be able to get it right.
Thanks. There's explosions in face. It's fine.
All right. Do you have any other key items?
Yeah.
No, I think those were all of my key items.
I mean, you did avoid the Mary F. Kill question, but we'll let it go this time.
Oh, I can do it. Please, can I do it?
You can.
F. Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Mary Princess Leia.
Sure.
I kind of just want to kill Mook.
Oh my god.
A little bit.
Oh boy, oh boy. Kill our protagonist, the hero of the story.
Michelle, I was the same.
Michelle.
He was just so whiny.
He was so whiny.
Michelle, final thoughts.
Final thoughts.
And a grade.
Oh, and a grade.
A+.
Yeah.
Okay.
I give it an A+ too.
All right. Michelle.
Voted all the time.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Have a wonderful night.
Thank you.
Whoa. All right.
Okay. You guys, I'm not sure if I ever told you this, but I actually did see Star Wars The Phantom Menace when it came out in theaters.
Oh really? So you lied
so
to us.
I like just remembered this now. Yeah. Not when I actually watched the movie for the first time with you. So I was 10 years old. My mom brought me to this movie because she was a big Star Wars fan. And I was like, I go to this movie and I'm like, wow, Star Wars sucks.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, why do people like this? So I grew up with this feeling, thinking it was bad because that was the only introduction I had had.
I'm sure that's a story for a lot of people, yeah.
What does he say when he's in the when he accidentally gets into the?
Now this is pod racing. Yeah. You think about that, or you think about
that's exactly
that's a neat trick. You think about that one.
Both of those are great. So Junis, what grade do you give Star Wars Episode IV: A New Hope?
A+.
A+.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. I also have to give it an A+. Just because, especially if we're talking about like why it's on the AFI, like duh.
What about the bad parts?
Nope.
Ah, shit.
I mean, like, probably Empire is better, but is it? I don't know.
I don't know. Here's what I'm going to give it. Yep. A+. I'm just too caught up in this hype of this joy. I love being in the joy. I'm so happy about it. Colleen, who are we sponsored by this week?
Lucas Art Films, which is, like, such a great coincidence.
Yes. Oh, and they actually make games, too. They used to make great games, and then they went out of business. That's going to do it for us this week on Flares on Films. Check us out next week for Searchers.
Something like that. Who knows?
Something like that.
And cut.